Just to clarify, these views that we speak of on our podcast are 100% our own and not those associated to anyone from Luton Town Football Club. Thank you very much.
Hello and welcome to O'Weather Town. I don't know where to start with this weekend of sport. A must-win game for Luton turned out to be one of, if not the worst, in my opinion, performers of our season so far, as we were humbled by Brentford, conceded 5 goals for the second week running. So annoying. Elsewhere, VAR's had it, been at it again. Poor old Coventry missed winning at Wembley again by literally a toenail. And then we had that Nottingham Forest debacle that is just rolling and rolling and rolling. It's unbelievable. We're going to talk about that in more detail in a little bit. We ask you guys also, how are you feeling about our final 4 games? We've got all your responses, your 3-word reviews, and much, much more. And with me tonight, we've got Steve and Darren. Welcome along, lads.
How about, buddy? You all right?
Yeah. Now, Steve, before we start, I just got to mention the T-shirt you're wearing.
Yes.
It's a Swiss Tony T-shirt.
It is, yeah. Jumped on Amazon and managed to get it. So, yes.
Hang on. What's it say?
Supporting Luton Town is very much like making love to a beautiful woman.
Yeah, you put following, not supporting.
Yeah, I know, but it was less letters, so it was cheaper.
Okay. Darren, it's nice to have you back as well. The weekend was a bit chaotic for the football. Do you not think?
Luton doing Luton things.
Luton being Luton, of course. But yeah. Can we just start? I think we should start with this whole Nottingham Forest thing that's going on. Mm. If you haven't seen it, where have you been?
Yeah.
And you've got to ask who in that organisation is responsible, firstly, for the initial tweet. Call it Stuart Atwell, one of our own, by the way. Mm-hmm. But who is responsible? Who do we think it is? Surely it's the owner.
I think it is. It comes from the owner. Mm. I think I can't remember how many games ago it was. He walked on the pitch and confronted the ref.
He's a volatile character.
He is, and if you start if you're at that level and you're the guy in charge,
yeah, it's gonna feel this down, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely
does.
So it comes from that. Honestly, when it came out in our group, the screenshot came out in our group, I think my first response is that for real?
Going to say,
I thought it was a parody.
Yeah, I was amazed at it. It's just, I mean, what a lack of class. I mean, but they're putting themselves bang in trouble. You know, they really are putting themselves bang in trouble. I hope that there are no points given back on appeal, and I hope they get their just desserts and that, because, you know, this...
Before you go on, did you see the points that they were making though? Would you have looked at those 3 instances and said there's a penalty every time? I think harsh. One should have been given for definite, in my opinion. But I think the other two are a little bit iffy.
I think the first one 50-50. I think we've seen them given, but I'm not surprised it wasn't given. The handball, I think earlier on in the season, the handball probably gets given, but not now. I think if you look at the semi-final day before, I think Grealish had the same in the wall.
Right.
They've changed that ruling on handball. So you kind of go, okay, where they've changed that, you don't get that. The last one's a penalty. It is a penalty.
I think they've made such a balls up of the handball rule that, you know, it just seems to change in that. If that had been Luton on the receiving end of those, I have to say, I'd be spewing.
You would be spewing.
I would have wanted all 3 of those.
Steve, you'd have been spewing because you wanted all 3, but then our board wouldn't have reacted in the same way.
No, of course, but that's the step that Luton would have taken. But to me, I thought, you know, maybe soft, but I thought all 3 were.
But come out and question VAR. Mm. Don't come out and say VAR's a Luton fan.
Yeah.
That's the bit, isn't it? That's the real cringy bit.
Well, now they're retracting... saying that they wanted him changed. They just brought it to the PGMOL's attention that he was a Luton fan. So
is that post the BBC article saying they never ever asked for him to be replaced?
Yeah, and obviously there's now someone sort of legal sort of running the Forrester Twitter account.
To be honest, they're in deep water if this goes through properly, aren't they?
What a shame. You know, you think the amount of, you know, the salty fans. I mean, there's going to be the amount of salt everywhere there's going to be.
Well, the problem I have is, if you watched our Nottingham Forest preview, we had Dave Asprey on from Nottingham, and he's a lovely guy, and he's fuming about this whole thing. But for the right reasons. He's embarrassed by his club's reactions. He's embarrassed by how they perform in that area, that he hates the owner, hates him because of what he's doing to his club.
Well, he's making them all look like mugs. It really is.
I was shocked. I mean, again, obviously, if it happened at our club, whoever was responsible for that tweet wouldn't be there anymore. He'd be totally gone. So the guy's lost his mind.
Yeah.
But the other thing he's not thinking about is he's putting his club in more danger. I mean, this points review they've got on, with the 2 points, they want one of them back. I'll be very surprised if they get that back now. I'll be very disappointed if they get that back.
Well, absolutely. I mean, because they're clearly not sort of cooperating with investigations or just the whole existence of the Premier League. And then, you know, it's just been conflict all the way from them. They've chosen to break the rules. They've gone for it. And they can't be seen to get away with it by getting leniency.
Are there many fans, Darren, that really love VAR, do you think?
I think it's disappearing. I think we possibly needed something to come in, but it just does, it's not fit for purpose. I think technology and everything, there's a place for it. But like I say, it's not fit for purpose.
Sorry to interrupt you, but is VAR going Championship next season?
Not sure. Don't know for sure.
Well, you know, Coventry, like you were saying earlier, they're not used to it, and they've been done by a toenail by it.
That sucks. I mean, what I'm finding though is that referees aren't making the key decisions. They're thinking, I'll leave it to VAR, but then VAR are saying, oh well, it wasn't a glaring error, so we'll back the referee's decision. So no one is making the decision.
It's that clear. What's the wording they use? Clear error, whatever.
Clear and obvious.
Clear and obvious error. Mm. That's the wording they need to get rid of, because then they just need to look at it and go, it doesn't matter whether the ref got it right or not on the pitch. Is the decision right overall?
But this is what I'm saying though. The refs aren't giving the decision. They're just leaving it. The referees have got to go back to bloody refereeing the game.
Mm. The problem we have here is that we all have an opinion, and everybody, you've just said you think all three were penalties. You've said one was a penalty. I'm thinking one may have been a penalty. I'm with Stuart Atwell here. I wouldn't have given any of them because I hate them both. But in realism, look, I think the handball you've seen given. You have seen the handball given. But then you look back to when we were playing West Ham.
West Ham.
We didn't get it.
Yeah, and then we had one against Rhys Burke where it was a corner headed back and he wasn't even looking that it was given.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So I think that's, we don't want to see a penalty given for that handball. Do we? As football fans, we don't want that.
No, but it's the old age thing, consistency. Sometimes it's given, sometimes it isn't.
They've changed the rule halfway through a season.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, that's nonsense as well. But the fact that, you know, the rule itself is just disappearing up its own backside because it's all, you know, natural position. You know, just get it straightforward.
How is defending with your arms behind your back natural? It's not.
No.
It's literally not. How is it when you jump? You can't jump without using your arms. You just can't.
Exactly. I know.
It's so annoying.
It's nonsense.
So at the moment, it seems like we're fighting the task for Nottingham Forest there. It does. It seems like we're backing them. Listen, I can understand the Nottingham Forest fans' grief. It's not their fault.
Mm.
But their owner, they need to get rid of him.
Well, he's just put their season ticket prices up tenfold, isn't he?
Right.
Bingo. My mate Paul, his friend who has an under, Paul. He can have that one. I think he was saying his friend has an under 19 season ticket there, which was £140 last season.
Right.
They're scrapping that age group. He goes straight up to an adult, £850.
Nice.
So all of this is in the same week where he's hoiked the price up. Surely he should be trying to get the fans aside and everything to push for their survival. And this guy's just losing the plot.
You can say he's obviously a blooming fruitcake, but he doesn't seem to care who he upsets. And he's just on a warpath. But no, I mean, you know, Forest at the moment just look as if they've got no class at all about them. And that's because of what's coming from top. But it wasn't Clattenburg involved in all this as well?
Clattenburg wrote in the Daily Mail today about how Stuart Atwell made all the wrong decisions. Clattenburg is paid by Nottingham Forest and the Daily Mail. Why would he say anything different? Got to be controversial. Personally, I think he should leave the position. I don't think he should be there.
Well, there's no point in going back to the refereeing setup because
they won't accept
him. No, they won't accept him. They've got no time for him. And he went to Forest saying, well, I can give you this insight and I've got these contacts. No, he hasn't.
He hasn't helped him at all, has he?
You know, I mean, I think he retired early from refereeing here to go over to Dubai. So he's just chased the money wherever he is, and that's all it is about him.
The irony is that all of this, Forrest are coming out saying, oh, Atwell's a Luton fan. The point they're missing is, personally, an Everton win wasn't the result I wanted.
No.
They're making out he's been biased with VAR to favour Luton.
Yeah.
Well, one, a draw would have been the best result. Mm-hmm. And personally, for me, I think if we wanted a team to win, we probably would rather Forest win than Everton. So it doesn't even stack up what they're saying.
Exactly. I mean, I think there's an argument, you know, again, you can argue sort of all the ways, but to me, the best result would have been a Forest win. And then we've got a head-to-head slug off with Everton. But, you know, who knows how it's going to unfold. But it's absolutely chaotic and they've got no class at all at the top level.
The Premier League have issued a statement. It says the Premier League was extremely disappointed to read the comments made by Nottingham Forest on social media following its match against Everton. We note the FA has confirmed it will be investigating the club's statement. It's never appropriate to improperly question the integrity of match officials. And the nature of these comments means the Premier League will also be investigating the matter in relation to the league rules. Now, the consequences of that, genuinely, if you're found in breach of bringing the game into disrepute, which I think it probably is on those circumstances, is points deduction. So he could actually relegate himself because he's an idiot.
Where have you got that from, Dave?
It's the Football League, breach of rule E3-4, two aggravated breaches. Don't forget, he went on the pitch and slagged off VAR and the referees. He's then done the second one on social media, 3 to 6 points immediately.
Well,
so I hope they get six.
Yeah.
Hello, Premier League for Luton then.
But do you know, I was saying earlier, and yes, of course it would benefit us, but I think even if I was a Newcastle or, you know, a mid-table team where Forest aren't bothering me at all, I would still want them to go down.
Yeah, exactly. Burnley coming up the rail, so.
Yeah, let's not talk about Burnley. What I was going to think about there also, and you know, let's put the Nottingham Forest team to bed, because you know what, if we end up staying up, you know what we're going to get from them, and also if we have to play them next season, which is one way or the other, oh my God, the atmosphere is going to be terrible. Yeah. We all know that on Saturday at Wolves, if we're not singing Stuart Atwell is one of our own, I will be gutted.
Well, Dave, you've got to start it, mate.
Okay. But I'm sitting several rows away from you.
That's right. I'll hear you.
Okay. While we're on the subject of VAR, and we did touch a little bit ago, how brilliant was the FA Cup semi-final? I think the FA Cup has been chronically poor for a long time. But the semi-final, I wish it wasn't at Wembley. I wish it was somewhere else. But that game, Coventry, at the weekend, it was amazing.
I only caught 20 minutes of it. I was in a restaurant, and me and Lenny. There you go. We just had it on the phone whilst we were waiting for food to come through. But that I literally only saw 20-odd minutes of it. But and that was, oh, it's 3-0. So turn the phone off. Then you get in the car on the way home and it's, what the hell has happened?
Honestly, Darren, it was, you saw the game, I'm hoping.
Well, a little bit the same as Steve. So 2-0, I then went, oh, well, that's done. Doing a few bits at home. Sorry.
What's wrong with you? Well, see, there's the magic of the FA Cup's not working.
I don't support Man United or Coventry. But it was then when, here's another one, Archie, my boy, he went, Archie, he was, dad, have you seen the score? At 3-2, 3-0. Then you see that last one go in. But I must admit, when it went in, both me and him looked at each other and went,
Oh, I reckon he's
from
off.
So listen, this is how we felt when we scored against Coventry in the playoff final.
Yeah.
To have it disallowed. But well, you might not have done, but I never saw the handball from behind the goal. So I just saw the ball come to his feet and Joe Taylor score. Mm-hmm. So I'm on it. I'm thinking we've won the game. And and really, their decision was worse. It was worse. Colton Morris, what size of his boots?
16.
16. And he goes up against you with a size?
7.
7.
7. He barely pays tax.
But you could be standing, you could stand directly side by side, feet to feet, and he would be offside because his boots are bigger.
Yeah.
That is wrong, isn't it? It's taking the away from the game.
Yeah, it is. I mean, and it's the hope that kills you. I mean, Coventry fans, when they got back to Friel, they must have just been in absolute heaven. They must have thought, this is just as good as it gets. And then when that winner went in, some of them would have... Because Championship, bless them, absolutely fantastic. They're not thinking, oh, we've scored, right, VAR, is it a goal, is it a goal? Yeah. Goal goes in and they're celebrating it, and they must have just felt so desperate when it got rolled out
last year in the playoff final. I was so glad it was us and them, and actually before the game, after the game, they were really good supporters,
decent set of lads.
Great,
yeah.
they're back at Wembley, you know. Semi, and I agree, I don't think the semi final should be at Wembley, but they're back at Wembley, another day out. They're the same end as the playoff final.
Yeah.
And then penalties again. And you
at
just,
the opposite end again.
Yeah, at the opposite end. And you just...
You knew it was going to happen.
It's heartbreaking for them.
Their penalties this time weren't great.
No. Can I quickly as well, Anthony, Man U player.
Oh, sorry. I thought there was
no, he's not a friend. I don't know anyone called Anthony. No, when the winning goal went in,
the
and
cup
he,
in his
hands
ear.
Behind his ears, it just shows you what a classless bit of work he is as well.
Yeah.
You know, what is the matter with some people?
Yeah.
You know, and this is... part of the Premiership that if we go down, I'll be absolutely chuffed to bits, never to see again. These elitist arsewipes that do stuff like that. Just no class.
Just a final word on it then is that I noticed at the end also, Man United had won. Their end was empty.
Yeah.
Their end was empty. I know they've got a long way home.
Not Manchester, no, or in the home counties.
All the way to the home counties. Yeah.
I think they're embarrassed. I think they're embarrassed to win it. Because of their performance and being 3-0 up and being pegged back and arguably could have lost it. I think they've had enough of their own manager. I think they've had enough of their own style and they're almost embarrassed to get to the final.
Good.
Well, talk about being embarrassed. Let's talk about the weekend. And
is that not the end of the show, Dave?
do you know, I don't know where to start. So I'm going to start with your three-word reviews from... Luton Town 1, Brentford 5. It really pains me to say that. Back-to-back 5-1s is irrelevant. So Justin said that was bad. Gaz, miles off it. Mark, hard to watch. Tom, our worst performance. David, not me, really poor tactically. Andy, not finished yet. And Phil, could have been 10. If you want to pick a couple of those lads, I'll listen to what you have to say about those.
Hard to watch. You know, it just seemed from the very start, you know, I think we were all buoyed by a couple of surprise inclusions. And I thought Lokonga showed some really lovely moments. There's a couple of times he dropped his shoulder, sort of done a dummy and went past. I've really missed watching him play. And I think when he's match fit and on it, him and Barkley bring the best out of each other. So I've missed that. A couple of good moments from him. Gabe Osho, man of the match.
Well,
well, you had my own 5-minute rant about that before
before we
come on air.
Look, you got to feel sorry for whoever had to pick man of the match because, you know, Kaminski maybe, but we've conceded 5. For me, you could only really make an account for Chong maybe.
Mm.
Those poor sponsors, they're paid to... have the sponsor the match and pick a man a match and they've got to sit there and go, oh no.
Well, yeah. I would say, personally, I would have said Sambi had a great game.
Mm-hmm.
I think it was really good to see him back. So
he,
I think
he looks classy on the ball, doesn't he? Really looks classy.
And Chong just went for it, didn't he? You know, the thing about Chong is that he's just more and more impressive every time he plays for me.
Yeah, it's taken him a while to get going, isn't it? But certainly this second half of the season,
I think he's had a run of games, which has really helped
him. Yeah. But it's a shame we ended up with that result, because we must have all thought the same. We watched Edwards' interview on the Friday, all no players back and everything. Yeah. And then the team sheet comes out.
Your little fibber.
And yeah, here we go. He's done the right one on us. Then you look at the Brentford team and go, no Tony whatsoever, because we know Tony loves to score against us. And it just...
Tony?
No, it's not. It's not.
Oh. I certainly don't know Ivan Tony. So it just kind of gave you that false sort of sense of security of like, oh, we're going to do this today. Mm. And it almost felt to me at the start of the game, like Sheffield United at home, we went into the game almost expecting we're going to win it. It had, for me, it had that little feel. Because it was a bit of a surprise. We had those players back, Tony not playing. It was almost like, we felt as though we might get something for the game, but because of how the team sheets came out, you got that extra little bit of, oh, we're going to do this today.
I was really buoyed by the two inclusions. I certainly didn't feel that, but just from the off, there wasn't the intensity. There wasn't the drive.
There was nothing there.
No, it wasn't. It is such a bad time to have stunk the place out like they did. And, you know, and Morris said himself, didn't he? He said it was just an awful, awful performance, is what he said about the players. It was an awful performance.
I do kind of find this with Luton, that we're either all on it or not. It's rare that when we have a game like that, you still have two or three on it. Collectively, it just felt like it wasn't there.
Something that did disappoint me slightly on Saturday, and Doughty, he really was quite grumbly, and he was really having a go at Chong quite a lot. You know, if there was a misplaced pass or something. Now, Chong is very direct, and he never stops. He's always trying, and he really does try to turn the opposition around. But I think there must have been four or five occasions where Doughty was moaning at Chong because something didn't go his way. And I just thought...
Is that not because we weren't, as a team, a collective, not playing well, and it's just frustrating, Steve?
Yeah, but maybe, but, you know, our whole ethos is based on that sort of togetherness and fighting together. And it just seemed on that... Those two people just seemed a bit fractious.
Well, I think there was a bit more than that. I think there was a few other players having a go at each other.
Yeah.
And it felt like that's the first time I've seen that in a long, long time. I know we've been doing really well. So it does. I put on our group, there just seems to be a little, is there something? Or do they just want it so bad that...
I'd like to suggest that the team are still so together. And I would say they are so disappointed with that performance and how they were playing. Mm. And they just want, you're right, they want it.
But Bournemouth away, arguably that second half, that's the time when you can have a go, because you're actually 3-0 up. But they didn't have a go at each other in that game. Mm. They were gutted. But like you said, you could visibly see them arguing with each other on Saturday.
Yeah, and it is strange. I'm sure it is coming from the right area, i.e. they were just all so disappointed and wanted to be doing well. But yeah, it just seemed that Chong was getting a little bit of an ear bashing.
It's hard really to talk about this game for me, really hard, because of the family connection. But we often say, and we said it last week, we said it the week before, if you're going to lose... in a game, lose to some quality goals, and Brentford's first goal was, although poorly defended, Darren, I'm going to go with you first. It was poorly defended, but what a strike.
Oh, it was a great strike. It was such a simple build-up, though, straight through the middle, a couple of passes, wasn't it?
Yeah.
It was great to have Gabe back and everything, but he can't play on the left of the three, and his body shape kind of gave them the chance to get that pass away.
Yeah, just paid an inside pass, didn't he?
You know, you're looking at, we say about levels, to run onto that ball and hit it first time top corner like that is top draw.
Yeah, it was a lovely, lovely finish and that. But yeah, we made it easy for them to get into that position. But, you know.
But even then, you know, Wisser scores a brilliant, brilliant goal. And, you know, Kaminsky's not stopping that. Any keeper in the country's not stopping that shot. But you think, I was still thinking, oh, well, it's only 1-0. We'll come back into this.
Mm-hmm. And then just never materialised, though, did it?
Honestly, we had three shots. I just don't want to talk about it, really. We had three shots all game. Then we created nothing. Mm. But then the kick in the face is that last minute in the first half when we let in What I can only describe as a calamitous goal, well, Steve, or Darren.
Sorry, I was going to say sublime goal to the ridiculous.
That's a typical goal that we were sort of letting in early on in the season. It was just two or three attempts to clear it, completely rubbish, and it just falls to them, and it just bobbles over the line. It was a shocking goal. It really was a shocking goal, and it just looked awful.
Do you know what? I must have had a lot of beer on Saturday as well.
Shock.
Yeah, shock horror, yeah. Because we did start early because I had some family over. And I didn't realise, why didn't I realise this? Two goals in 3 minutes. Go on, just go for it. I can't be bothered.
Well, what do you want to say about it, to be honest with you? Look, Brentford were the only team that were looking likely, to be honest with you. I thought at times they just toyed with us, really.
It was a header, wasn't it? The third goal.
Corner.
Right, so the back post there, it was poorly. I don't like having to go at the players too much, but generally,
well, I'm sure the players have been tearing a strip off each other, so,
But we've got to be better there.
We don't want to pick on players. Osho didn't even jump.
No.
Didn't even jump. The guy almost had a free header. Mm. Middle of the goal.
Yeah, I think Morris was jumping in front of him to try and clear. Didn't quite get to it. And it was just a very straightforward header for him, wasn't it? And he put it away nicely, but crikey.
And of course, as bad as we're playing, that was the third, wasn't it? So as bad as we're playing, it's still only two. And you go, well, you never know. But the three and the way we're playing does it.
Your optimism's going to do you in, Darren?
Thomas Frank is correct. We'd only not scored at home once, Spurs. So he knows we tend to always score at home. Mm. We fancy we're always going to score at home. So even at 2-0, you think, well, we'll get one. Even if that's with five to go, you never know. Mm. You never know. But the third does it, doesn't it?
Yeah, absolutely it does.
The fourth goal, again, for me, calamitous, defending at the back post.
Yep.
Was that the fourth one where we had...
Yeah, the little lobs over and Fred at the back post.
Fred at the back post. Now, listen, Fred has really been chucked into this last year.
Yeah, absolutely.
I don't want to be disrespectful to Fred, but I didn't think he was ever going to get a game for us in the Premier League.
No.
But he's come on and he's been great.
Yeah, because on previous occasions, he's shown some worth, definitely. But
he...
That was...
He needs to get in front of that attacker there.
It was Kabore-like in its lack of attention at the far post.
Early Kabore. Yeah, Kabore's been good recently.
Early Kabore.
Well, about Kabore, though, he comes back from injury, he playing, and then he goes off.
He got hit early on, didn't he?
Yeah.
He was carrying that for a while.
How's our luck? How's our luck?
And then Burt goes off at half-time as well, and you think, right, just when we got some defenders back, two are off by half-time.
Yeah.
Well, when did Kabore go off? It was first half, wasn't it?
I believe so, yeah.
And then, why not just give them five? Because we lost 5-1 to Man City. Just give Brentford five. The fifth goal was just a give, wasn't it? It was a give. It struck it in. I mean, let's be honest, he put it in at some speed, but where were the defence?
Well, exactly. I mean, it broke to them. Again, we just weren't clearing it. We weren't getting the tackles in. It broke to them. And he just smashed it into an open net. I mean, you could see how angry Mengi was. You could see him sort of head up in the air. He was furious about things, but it was just a shocking all-round performance, really.
We need to put it behind us. I want to talk about Luke Berry. He literally keeps going all the time and he always turns up and he scored a goal, and well done for him.
Yeah, just talking about that, again, his awareness. He's seen the pass go into the guy and he's caught him on the blind side. He's stole a march on him. Then the keeper's come out, he's just put it past him, no problem. And it wasn't an empty goal because there was a defender going back to the line. Just another moment of class from Berry. And there's no point saying, well, but it didn't mean anything. I know it didn't, but he still done it. And really intelligent.
Yeah, and he hadn't given up. 5-0, he hadn't given up. He was still chasing it. Yeah. He could have...
Well, do you know what? Personally, every goal counts. And that's the
it
thing.
It could so well he, do, he could, absolutely.
Although... 10 goals in the last two games is not not a good thing for us. Disappointing.
I have to say that following that and the way Colt Morris was talking, and I'm sure how the week they will want it to go, I'm really looking forward to the Wolves day.
Yeah. Well, we're going to talk about the remaining games coming. I can't tell you how down I was after that game, and just because we didn't give him a game. And if we'd have given him a game, I'd have been a little bit happier.
Did you stay till the end?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep. Look, yep. I don't... If anybody moans at other Luton fans for not staying, then, you know, get off your high horse, because I would say to you, you pay your money, you can do what you like. Mm. The fact that you want to be there, and I think I said in one of my post-match things, you know, blind faith is not what you need. You don't need blind faith, because, you know, you just got to go with it. So anyone saying that you should have stayed, you should have sung the boys home, all that stuff, I don't agree with that. If you don't want to stay, don't stay.
No, that's fine.
But if you left, and if you was a Man United fan at Wembley yesterday and you left thinking they'd lost the game at 4-3, you know, you'd be stupid, wouldn't you? Mm.
Yeah.
Mm. So I think it's a personal thing. I left when we were losing 7 at Fulham.
Okay.
Away at Fulham. Was it 7?
No.
Yeah.
I left early that day because it was disgraceful. I didn't leave at home because it's easier to get home.
Yeah. Saw quite a few comments from other teams, though, saying, oh, look, I've seen it all now. Luton fans cheering and clapping the players off after a 5-1 home defeat. It wasn't a clapping off as in a well done. It was just yet another rallying call. You know, it was just another, we're not done yet. We're not out of it.
Yeah, it was pick your heads up, lads.
Yeah, exactly.
Put it to bed. Let's move on.
Yeah, and you know, so many clubs haven't got that, and we should cherish the fact that we've got that. And you know, I think it's Tim Sherwood on Sky. He said, you know, worst things happen. He said, so if Luton go down to the Championship, that's what almost everyone from outside of Luton would have expected. He said, but you know, you got a free hit. He said, roll your sleeves up, go again, and just go for it. If you fail, you go down into a fantastic division. You got the money, you know. So it was almost a bit of a rallying call from him as well, you know, and it was quite good. That's what you've got to embrace. You know, during the week, they've got to pick themselves up, remind ourselves that there's 4 games to go and we're still in it.
Well, Everton... get absolutely done, didn't they, this time last week?
Yeah.
6-0.
Yeah.
Come back and then beat Forest.
Yeah.
There's a couple of facts from Opta that I want to read to you. Saturday was the first time Luton have lost a home top flight by 4 or more goals since February 1984, when we played Manchester United and lost 5-0. Brentford have won 7 of the last 8 league games against Luton, which is really annoying.
Yeah.
I don't want to read the rest of that. And it's their biggest ever away top flight victory. So there you go, Brentford. We'll give you some history there.
I'm really, it's really, nice really, of us, really happy for them. Yeah.
How are you feeling? How are you feeling about the remaining games? It's in a knife edge, really, isn't it? Obviously, we need Everton to just capitulate against Liverpool because they've got them next, haven't they?
Yes.
And then Brentford on the weekend.
Right.
I know we made Brentford look good, but Brentford are, with those two up front, they're a decent team. Mm-hmm. Are Everton going to get points from those two games?
Don't know. We'll see.
We're hoping that Manchester United, Newcastle and Spurs are not going to let Burnley beat them. Mm. Because, you know, Burnley are on a total form right now, Darren.
They are. I think they've only lost 1 in 7. Mm. And if their keeper wasn't horrific, they probably would have been doing better than that. Because... Mm. He basically let one under his foot and kicked one against Calvert-Lewin, didn't he? So they could be doing even better, but I think they're doing better, but I don't think they're going to get points against Man United, Newcastle and Spurs. They're not doing that much better.
No.
They've left it too late.
I mean, Palace are out of it, aren't they now? I mean, amazing result of the weekend against West Ham.
Can I just say thank you for Jacob for putting Palace back on here after I asked for it. But I've given Palace their best team talk ever a couple of weeks ago, didn't I?
Yeah, absolutely.
It's ridiculous.
Proper Jonah.
Yeah, proper Jonah. It's between us and Forest, really, isn't it?
I think Everton are still in there, but we've got to beat Everton. If Everton... don't get anything against Liverpool, don't get anything against Brentford, then come to us and we beat them. If we don't get anything against Wolves, that still puts us within 2, with 2 to play. They've got to go to Arsenal last game of the season.
Oh, they also have Sheffield United, who have been terrible.
Mm. It's more likely to be us or Forest, right, rather than Everton. I think out of the three, they're the most likely to be sort of clear of it.
But dare I say, it comes down to if teams get points back.
Yeah, well, yeah, exactly. But, you know, we'll have to see what happens with that. But, you know, but you've still got to be optimistic. You know, it is a free hit. Let's just go for it. Let's just absolutely go for it.
Currently, as it stands, we've got to win one more than Forest in these remaining four.
Mm.
And if you look at the four games left for both teams, what teams would you rather have?
Well, Forest can have Sheffield United and Burnley.
Do you know, Forest would beat Burnley at the moment?
Well, I hope not. But then it could be really big for Burnley as well.
Yeah. We could be in that last game of the season looking at that result, seeing what's happening there, which could end up deciding what ends up with us.
If we get nothing from Wolves and nothing from Everton, we're done, right?
Yeah, I think so. I think it's tilting slightly against us now after Saturday.
Saturday was such a big disappointment, wasn't it? Such a big disappointment.
I feel now we probably... Or it's more likely that we'll go down than survive, but that doesn't mean that we're not going to go for it.
Okay, I'll just put you on the spot. Are we going to beat Wolves? Are we going to get anything from Wolves?
Wolves are really depleted at the moment. Same as us. We had all the youth players. Wolves had five youth teenagers on the bench against Arsenal.
Right.
No Kuna, no Neto. Neto was the only difference in the home game, wasn't he? We gave him a really good game at home. If we can match that, we could get a point, but I don't think a point is enough at this stage because of our goal difference has taken a hammering.
Well, we're due a decent performance.
Yeah,
we have not won for ages. I know we won the other week, but it feels like we have. You've gone through the whole season. What have we won? Six, seven?
Something like that, yeah. I think that we could, though, Dave, mate. I think the players are going to be so sort of focused throughout the week to, in their eyes, right the wrongs of last Saturday.
I hope you're right, and we give Wolverhampton Wanderers a great game and come away with 3 points, because that would upset the apple cart and obviously pee off the Nottingham Forest.
Yeah.
Nottingham Forest director even more. We asked you guys after the game Saturday, we wanted to know how you were feeling about the final four games. Are you feeling confident or have you lost your confidence? Sean says, we can't play that bad again. We've got to go for it now. We've got four games to go and still in with a chance. We'd have taken that at the start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Roger, turn up, put a shift in like they've had all season, bar Brentford. And I won't have any more complaints. Confident they will try, confident they will get the points. There are external influences, though. Yeah, of course, we're still waiting for those points deductions. And now, will Forest get another points deduction? Let's hope so. Patrick says, no, not feeling confident at all. I now feel we have to recover from that that spirit beating at home and win three of the four games in order to stay up. And I don't think we're going to manage it. Linus says, four games, 12 points up for grabs. It's football. Anything can happen. Back the boys when we're up and back them when we're down. Enjoy the ride. We were never meant to be here. Now, Linus, I love that, but I think we've always backed the boys.
Yeah.
Without a shadow of a doubt. Lee says, if we can win at Wolves, then survival is back on and confidence restored. I just hope Kabore is fit to play and we see a fully fit Sambi and Gabe, one or two others back from injury, but play like Saturday and we're down.
Mm.
Stephen, depends like if we play like Saturday. If we do, we've not got a hope. If we play like we had the rest of the season, the dream lives on. Just... And Richie says, I just hope 10 goals conceded in the last two games doesn't come back to haunt us.
Mm.
Some really good comments there. And you've got to say, you know, the team have put in a shift all season. I think Saturday is the only game this season that, without exception, and even after the Bournemouth thing when I didn't talk to you for about 30 minutes on the way home.
And the rest.
Yeah, okay. But I was so depressed that we lost that. But then I look back on it and thought, God, we were good in the first half. But Saturday is the worst one. And I walked out of that just...
It was a bad time for it to happen as well.
Distraught, yeah. And, it, you know, had that happened at the beginning of the season, you're going, oh, okay, that's fine.
Mm.
But it was such a crunch game. So yeah. I agree with you all. And it's so disappointing.
Yeah.
I can't talk about it.
It'll only be a bad time for it to happen if we don't go and do something at Wolves. It could be the right time for it to happen.
Mm. I mean, all the games that we've got left, if you look at each one in isolation, you can say about every single one, it's very winnable. you know, West Ham haven't got a lot to play for. Wolves probably haven't got a lot to play for, but we just haven't shown that we've been able to do that back-to-back-to-back wins. And I think that's the key. We could win any of those, but I don't see us winning enough of those.
If you win your last three out of four, 9 points gives us a big shout. I'm going to carry on dreaming that we're going to stay up. I'm just going to carry on. You know, look, do you know what? It's been such a brilliant season overall. I'm not going to knock any of it.
Can I say, I'm absolutely delighted, going to say it anyway, that we're one of the minority of teams that have gone up and given the vast majority of the players that opportunity.
Yeah, we said this the other week, didn't we?
Yeah.
You know, it's not often you go up and you keep most of the team that got you there.
Mm.
Most of the team. And we've put some really glorious additions in it.
Yeah, absolutely.
And now you worry about whether or not you can keep those people. I just noticed one of Jacob's statements, and if I find it, I'll tell you. Oh, yeah, Tottenham are considering the move for Luton Town centre-back Osho on a free transfer.
Mm.
You know, it'd be devastating for him to go, but it'd be right for him to go.
Yep. The club don't get much wrong, but how we've let Osho run down the contract is...
Well, I'm sure they've been talking for quite a while, though, Darren, you know, because he's been of a level for a while. There's no way that they haven't been trying to tie him up, mate.
I don't understand why he wouldn't want to tie himself up and then get his agent to do the stuff. Because the problem with football, here we go on another thing, is agents. Agents are the one that wrap it up. Oh, you know what? I can get you more money here. I can, if you go on a free, just let that run down and you get more money when you go over there.
Mm.
Agents are to blame. We only played, what, a couple of million to agents this season.
Right. I mean, that's where it's come from, though. You know, I say Gabe is, I'm sure he'll leave.
Well, if he does, you don't blame him because he wants to better his career.
Mm-hmm.
And if he can't do it with Luton Town, then he should go do it with some team that he wants to do it with. The only loyalty in football are the fans.
Yes.
Without a shadow of a doubt, the only loyalty. But the issue with agents is that they will manipulate contracts. Don't bother re-signing. Don't, we'll go and talk to them, but we're never going to sign that contract.
Mm.
Now, I'm not saying that that's happened, but you can just see how it works because the agents are greedy so-and-sos too, aren't they? If you get a £30 million deal and you get 10%
yeah,
or 20%, more to the point, why don't the bloody football... I see you've started me off on something totally different now. Why don't the footballers, why don't the players themselves have to pay their agents' fees?
Mm.
Yeah. Yep. Makes no sense.
Yeah.
Makes no sense.
Agree.
But if that is the case and he's going, Gabe, give us four massive games.
Oh, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, sell yourself.
Mm.
Give it, because he needs to be better than he was on Saturday, that's for sure.
Well, let's hope the Spurs scouts were there on Saturday.
Yeah.
They'd have probably left before you, Dave.
I left at the end.
All right. So they would have left before you then.
Okay, fair enough.
Thank you.
While we're on stuff that's really been aggravating me recently, and I just...
did you get the cream, did you, Dave?
Steve, I have to say, the thing that bothers me about this week is that everything I love about football was, you know, the FA Cup semi-final, for instance, brilliant. I loved it. I watched it.
Mm.
It's been a long time since I've cheered on any neutral team in any game, and I really wanted Coventry to win. I'm gutted, and I really enjoyed the game. But the other thing that's really peeved me off is FA Cup replays.
Mm.
FA Cup replays going off the radar. For the benefit of whom?
Well, the big clubs, isn't it?
It's the big six again, isn't it?
And but look at the big six, though, Darren. They how many replays they had recently against how many extra ones they've played in Europe?
Yeah, but the European leagues are expanding again, aren't they? So, you know, they just... That's the way it's going. They're the ones that have driven it. But it's strange. The amount of clubs that haven't sort of condemned the act and all...
Well, look, do you have a position?
A couple of things. Just, I guess, if it's the big six or the ones that are in Europe, and we've lost it, we're going to lose a European place, aren't we?
Good.
With the Champions League.
Right.
So we're talking, what, five teams? Just tell those five not to compete in the FA Cup.
Mm.
If you want to go, if you've done well and you've played in Europe, you go and play in Europe, but that takes you out of the FA Cup, and then we can keep the FA Cup to what it is, and then we'll see other winners and things like that.
We could win it then.
There is that side of it. I'm just devastated. We've been a club that's been up, down, back up again.
Mm.
I just think for these teams that are regular lower league teams, that chance to have the day out, those fans to have the chance to have a day out at a massive stadium, a big club. When they were talking about this European Super League, and we were in the Championship, was it the season that we just about stayed up? And you think we're still a bit off the Premier League by then? And I was thinking, oh, my son isn't going to get the chance to watch us play a Liverpool, to play a Man City. How upsetting would that be? Because they're going to disappear. And you want that as a lower league team to have the chance of those days.
Yeah, you
out.
Want those dream draws, don't you? But, the Liverpool away game when 2020 got sort of announced as our preferred sort of bidders moving forwards. I mean, basically that game just give us enough money to keep going, didn't it?
Yes.
Well, that's the key, isn't it? We say about these great days out for the fans and everything else, but it's the money. The money. Who did we play? Bolton. Bolton this season, they got a replay off us.
Yeah.
And that money goes a long way for Bolton at the moment, especially they've got a chance of getting promoted, aren't they?
Right.
Was it Grimsby or someone was saying about...
Grimsby this year.
Or one of those kind of teams got a replay. That replay almost pays for their players... wages for the season.
Yeah.
It's massive.
Yeah. But, you know, it just seems that further down the pyramid, the clubs are being more and more forgotten.
The problem also, even if the FA are saying there's more money in the game to be filtered down, it doesn't get filtered down right.
No.
It doesn't. And it's never a fair distribution. I know we're in the Premier League right now. We might not be at the end of the season, but... You know, we've suffered. I don't like to see it. I've got so many favourite FA Cup replays. Yeah. I remember going to Arsenal on a Monday night and it was an icy pitch. We drew 0-0 and come back and beat them 3-0. I think that's the year we played Everton.
Mm-hmm.
The Watford trilogy.
Wayne Turner.
Wayne Turner.
That's what the game
Legend.
Needed.
Yeah.
Our 94 Cup run when we got to the semi-final.
Oh.
Two replays, wasn't it?
Yeah,
Newcastle
and then West Ham. Yeah.
Both those games, we drew away. Brought them back to Kenilworth Road.
Yeah,
and
that was an immense cup run. That was,
yeah.
You know, and those two replays, the Newcastle and West Ham ones, I watched those games so many times back, time and time and time again. They were just brilliant.
But arguably, as the underdog, as Coventry found out, if we played the first game, no replays, I think no extra time, it just goes straight to penalties.
Mm-hmm.
And they said that no extra time?
I'm not sure.
There's got to be extra time, surely.
I would imagine
so. It was kind of an open... I was looking at you for a response.
I don't know is the answer.
I don't know. But,
look it up.
But you're guessing.
I'm guessing.
But even so, if we draw those games, Newcastle, West Ham, and you go to penalties. I don't know if there's a stat in it, but the likelihood is the bigger teams, the better players would probably win. And we don't get that chance to have the replay back at home.
No.
That bring them back home, we'll have them at
home. Yeah, exactly. And they were real events, those two replays. What a goal from Thorpey, by the way, up at Newcastle.
Oh, yes.
That was his first goal. That was absolutely superb finish.
Can I look at it just a slightly different way?
Yes.
Because I also feel most teams only get one chance of that cup upset. So your little minnows who get a miraculous draw against a bigger team like a First Division or a Championship or a Premier League team, they play them, they get that 0-0 or they get that lucky 1-1 after extra time. When they go back to their place, not they go away, they're done. They never win. They never win that. It's always that. So at that point, I'd take a penalty shootout.
About a choice of venue then, if there's no replays?
No, I don't think they need that. I think genuinely, if you're playing a team and you're still in it and you get to penalties, there's more chance of a cup upset at that point. I'm going to miss FA Cup replays because I'm old and because that's what I want. But a lot of young people have never witnessed it.
Well, we miss semi-finals at Villa Park and places like that, don't we? Because semi-finals shouldn't be bloody
semi-finals,
Wembley.
There are so many stadiums in this country that could hold a good FA Cup semi-final.
Yeah, yeah.
So many. Old Trafford, Man City, Villa Park still is a gorgeous stadium to have that sort of game in. The couple in London, Arsenal, Tottenham. Tottenham Stadium is unbelievably nice. Newcastle, if they upgrade it. You know, you've just got to go... FA are greedy for that. But replays... it's going to be something we look back on, and we're just going to look at, back on nostalgically.
Yep.
Nostalgically.
Got there in the end, didn't they?
I did get there in the end. Listen, we've been rambling on for a good old 50 minutes, and if you've got to the very end of this, thank you so much for staying, thank you for listening, and thank you for watching. If you have any comments, please leave them on YouTube or wherever. And
see you up at Wolves, yeah?
See you up at Wolves. Please like and subscribe if you haven't already. Darren and Steve, thanks for coming up. No Bataro this week, but hopefully he'll be back next week. And see you at Wolves.
Take care.